From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his ninth message in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. In chapter 3, verse 5, just prior to the crossing of the Jordan River, Joshua commanded the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." In a message entitled, "Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises," Dr. Cairns is reminding believers of God's call to personal holiness of life. For the children of Israel standing on the border of Canaan, the call to holiness was in preparation for and in anticipation of the moving and blessing of God, and it still is. The first thing Dr. Karen stressed about this command is that it was given to God's people, not to sinners. It is the redeemed of the Lord who are called unto holiness. Failure to do so results in the forfeiture of God's blessing. Then this is a command to comprehensive holiness. Believers are to separate from sin in all of its manifestations, both in their personal as well as in their public lives. Not only so, but they are to keep separate, not to return to worldly living. With God's command to sanctification also came glorious promises of the Lord's presence with His people, of the removal of every obstacle, and of protection from every danger. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to explain that there is a difference between assurance of salvation and presumption.
Among professing Christians, I'm talking about the people you'll find in church, the people you'll find listening to broadcasts such as this one, you will find probably three basic classes of people. There are those who are genuinely saved. There are those who are presumptuous, and they glibly presume that they're saved without any biblical basis for such a presumption or an assurance. Then there are those who lack assurance of salvation. They may be saved, but they don't enjoy the assurance of salvation. Now, assurance is not presumption. Presumption is a sin. Assurance is a grace and a gift that the Lord gives His people. Sinful presumption leaves a man in his sin. Sinful presumption lets him easily conclude that he is right with God. He has usually no great apprehension of his own sinfulness, no experience of genuine repentance, no love for God, no real commitment to Christ. There's been no change of heart and life. There may be some external adherence to a code or to a set of standards, but there is no desire for holiness. There is no likeness to Christ. There is no burden for prayer. There is no love for Scripture. You'll find that we have people like this all over the place. They say, "Oh, I made a decision. I walked an aisle. I'm not a bad person. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing." And they presume that they are saved. But they're not saved. All the presumption in the world will not save a soul. Any man who presumes he's saved because he did something is not saved. He has no right to say he's saved. Matthew chapter 7 makes that very clear. The Lord Jesus spoke of people who would appear before Him in the judgment day and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in Thy name? And in Thy name have cast out devils, and in Thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. depart from me. Now, what's wrong with these people? You would look at them and say, oh, those are saved people. I would love to be like them. Miracle workers, casting out devils, they have great experiences. Surely, surely they are the real thing. Jesus says, not at all. I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. You're still sinners. Now look at these people as they appear before God. And what are they saying? They're saying, Lord, have we not done this? We preached, we prophesied, we did this, we did that, we did the other thing. Do you see something about them? The reason they give for entrance into heaven is what they did. And I want to tell you, any man who answers the question, how do you know or why do you think you're saved, by saying, well, I have done this or that, is absolutely on a wrong footing. Sinful. Presumption. But then there are people who have real assurance. There are others who lack assurance. And if you're saved, you should seek the Lord until you get assurance. You see, assurance, first of all, is confident in the work of Christ. Assurance recognizes, I'm a sinner. There's not a thing in me that deserves anything from God but wrath. I have no confidence in me, no confidence in the flesh, but am I confident that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God? Am I confident that Jesus Christ did live a perfect life and obey the law of God for me? Am I confident that he died an atoning death and that he rose again the third day, that he has fully met all the standards of God and his law? Am I confident that God is satisfied with Christ? Am I confident in the finished work of the cross? Yes, I'm confident in that. And then assurance is confident in the promise of Christ. Am I confident that Christ cannot lie? Am I certain that Jesus Christ cannot fail? Therefore, when he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, can I cast myself entirely in that? Sure I can. I remember the time as a young man when God brought me to that place, confident in the work of Christ, confident in the word of Christ, and that brought me to a confident assurance of God's salvation. I trust today that you're saved, and sure of it, and not guilty of wicked presumption.
I'm looking unto Jesus, he's my Savior and my friend, the author and creator, beginning and the end. Oh, my eyes are fixed upon him, he who died to take my place. My heart is bent to serve him, his pattern I must trace. I'm looking unto Jesus.
Great result. I'm
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The current issue includes a series of articles in observance of the 400th anniversary of the Authorized Version of the Bible. In addition, there are feature articles about Dr. Michael Barrett, president of Geneva Reformed Seminary, as well as a tribute to the great American theologian B.B. Warfield. Also, there's a missionary focus on the country of Bulgaria, as well as Any Day Soon by Jill Saunders, drawing vital lessons from a young Christian girl's battle with cancer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues such as, what is revival? Can women be pastors? And how do we distinguish faith from presumption? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
What is the great pinnacle of separation? It is not to preen ourselves with pride, sitting in a fundamentalist or Bible-believing or Reformed church and fold our arms and say, thank God I'm not in Romanism. Thank God I'm not in apostate Protestantism. Thank God I'm not in the World Council of Churches. The pinnacle of separation is certainly be separate from those things, but cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Perfect, complete holiness in the fear of God. There are many people maybe even here this morning, and you can look back to a time when you were very careful about your walk with God. You were very careful about your times with prayer. You were very careful about the time over the open page of the Word of God. You were careful in your public testimony and in your private life. You separated. But the Bible says in Joshua 6:18, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Keep yourselves from it. I have known people living in absolute misery and defeat, and they could look back and they could tell you where they were 10 years ago, what they experienced 20 years ago, how useful they were, how blessed they were. But today, later on, nowhere with God. Jude says in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves there. Separate yourselves unto the Lord and keep yourselves separate. This is an ongoing walk. Acts 15:29 tells you, you're to abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from fornication. That's not a once for all decision that you say, well, I'll abstain from those things today, but they're all right tomorrow. No. Keep on abstaining. John says in 1 John 5:21, keep yourselves from idols. Not enough that you turn from idols to serve the living and true God. You did it once, but you can go back. No. Keep yourselves from idols. You see, separate unto the Lord and stay separate. And it means something else. Sanctify yourselves has the idea of being seen to be holy. Be observed to be holy. Be plainly holy. Don't be ashamed to be holy. There's no secret testimony of holiness here. Now, understand, I am not for a moment doubting. Since I've already preached this morning, I would hardly should be understood as doubting that there is a secret aspect to holiness. No man can see it but God. But there are people who want to lock their testimony for Christ up in their heart. They want to say, well, in my secret life, I'm seeking the Lord. But publicly, well, I don't like to get into trouble. I don't like to ruffle any feathers. I don't like to take a stand. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Christ without the camp, bearing His reproach. That is sanctifying yourselves. Now, that's comprehensive holiness, and that's the command. But thank God, with the command, there's a glorious promise. And this is a promise that has lived with me this week, and indeed much longer than this week, but especially in these past days. This is a verse that has kept reverberating in my mind. It's a promise from God in His Word that has been, for me, a support, a stay, an encouragement, a director. The Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves, and the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, these people had already seen great wonders in the wilderness. But this was a new class of wonders the Lord was talking about. What the Lord was talking about here was something that would take their experience of Him to a level it had never been at before. It would let them taste things they had never tasted before. When He says, the Lord will do wonders among you, He was, first of all, promising the Lord would go before them, and He would give them a new and a nearer sense of His presence than they had ever had before. My friend, that is a wonder I covet for my own life, and it's a wonder I covet for this church's life. A new and a nearer sense of the presence of God. Can we expect it? Sanctify yourselves. The Lord will do this wonder because in Isaiah 66:2, He says, to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. I'll give him that new and nearer sense of the divine presence. When the Lord said he would do wonders among Israel, he was promising that he would make every obstacle a means of their progress. Now it's easy to say that, but let it sink in. He would make every obstacle a means of their progress. For example, the Jordan. The Jordan, as I said last week, at the time of harvest, was in spate. It was overflowing its banks. There were floods. And though the river normally was quite a small one, at this time it was impassable for this people. So what did the Lord do? That was an obstacle. He simply made it a means of their progress. Dried it up, and over they went. Take the walls of Jericho. Enormous walls. An imposing structure. An impregnable city. So what did the Lord do? He collapsed them into the ground. They went forward. Take the case of Joseph. In Genesis 50 verse 20, he said to his brothers, "You thought evil against me." That's an understatement. "You thought evil against me." They intended to murder him. They hated him with a virulent hatred. "You thought evil against me. You sold me into slavery. You pretended I'd been killed by an animal. You tricked my father. You wanted to defraud me of my part of the blessing. You wanted to cut me right out of the family. You thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." God made the obstacle a means of his progress. Without what his brothers did, Joseph would never have been in Egypt. And Joseph would never have been ruler of Egypt. He could have said the same thing to Potiphar and to Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife meant to have him put to death when she falsely accused him. But God turned it for good. Take the case of the early church. Every device that was aimed against them, God just turned it around and made it a means of their progress. That's why they were rejoicing in the midst of persecution. They were rejoicing in the midst of opposition. In fact, they were so glad at that time that they said to the Lord, "We thank you that we are counted worthy to suffer." That's a very different mindset from anything that we know today. When we suffer, we tend to say, "Lord, what's wrong? Why am I being singled out?" When they suffered, they said, "Thank God I have been singled out." Now we have to admit that the mindset is very, very different. But the reason is they had grasped this. And they were living in the joyous experience of it. That God made every barrier a means of their progress. My friend, that will be the same with us. As we sanctify ourselves, God will make the obstacles a way for us to overcome and go forward. He was promising he would protect from every foe and every danger. Sanctify yourselves, and the Lord will protect you. The Lord will keep you. I was reading this past week in Psalm 125. "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about them." About his people from henceforth and forevermore. I thought of the words of Zechariah in chapter 2 and verse 5, where the Lord says, "I will be unto her as a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her." God protects a holy people. Even when it appears he allows his holy people, as he did in the early church, as he did, say, with the Waldensians, as he did with the Huguenots, as he did with some of the early Christians in England and Scotland and other places, when he allows them to be put to death for their faith. For them, all he's doing is bringing them to glory, but through them, he's promoting the whole cause that they had at heart, and he's bringing the church into victory.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.